podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, coaches. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to join us today in the podcast. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Like I've said before, the technology behind this thing, I remember old school when they used to have those long metal racks. The ball would go up into this net and would come down this long metal rack. The technology and the ability that Dr. Dish does and all the people that work there and the things that they give back to the community is second to none. Mention Coach Unplugged, me, Coach Collins, or anybody, and they'll give you $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop. It's got clinics. It's got handouts. It's got breakdowns. It's got on-court things teaching you. You know, I'm not upselling you. I'm not doing those kind of things. I'm not making you pay for the clinic videos. I'm giving you everything that we got to make you a better basketball coach, along with me, someone that's won at the highest level in the U.S., been nationally ranked. I want to help you become a better basketball coach, and that's why I started teachhoops.com. That's why I want to help you win more basketball games. Go over and check it out. And in closing, if you like our other podcast, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, High School Hoops, Funnel Down, or this one, go leave a 5-star review. We really do appreciate that. And let's head off to the podcast. The state championships, literally my best team didn't win it. My best team didn't win it. I was too young. Anyway, there's lots of reasons. What the guy Wesley who plays for the Lakers now broke his hand. There's lots of factors. You got to be a little lucky to win it. Like, you got to be good.
Well, the last three years, we've gotten beat in the last 30 seconds. We got beat at the buzzer, and then we were 29-0 into the playoffs when
COVID hit.
And with a little bit of luck, not even a lot of luck, with a little bit of luck, we would have won the last three in a row. But
right,
it was getting there. It's the sustained. It's getting there that means the most to me.
I do too. I believe that. What would you tell a young coach? A young coach knocks on your door and says, "Hey, I want to get into coaching." What would you tell them? Sit them down, and they're sitting across from you in your office. What would you tell them?
And it's a good question, because I have a young coach who calls me, who I talk to probably once a week or whatever on that. And I think that,
thank you for doing that, first of all, because all the mentors that coaches can find in the world is a great thing, to be honest with you. So I thank you for doing that. More coaches put these walls up, and it drives me bonkers. It's like, there's no secrets in this thing, guys.
No, I'm being selfish, because again, it's one of those things where it's, you know, that he does some things, his age, he is young. And so his age, there's some things as far as communication with players and social media and some of those things that, you know, that he knows a lot more than I do. So
than the porch dogs, I call us porch dogs. We're the old dogs laying on the porch, you know?
Yeah. So I wish I could do it, that I'm totally just doing it to help him. But part of it is he's helping me. You know, he's helping me see things from a different, you know, from a different perspective.
So what I tell, one of the things I tell a young coach is over-communicate, like, especially at a high school level, over-communicate to the parents, over-communicate to the players, over-communicate to your staff, over-communicate, don't under-communicate, over-communicate, because that'll take care of 90% of your problems. Because usually people get frustrated when they don't know what's going on, you know? Our country is a prime example of it. Like, when can I get my vaccine? People get frustrated when they don't know. If I know, I'm like, okay, you are not here. Okay, cool.
I don't know if you found, but for me, especially, it's harder and harder now because of text messaging and Twitter and Instagram and those things. It's, you know, before I could have a conversation with with incoming players once a week, and I would get to know them, you know, really, really well. Now sometimes it's a little bit harder. There's a story, I don't know if you, I hope you don't mind me telling it, but several years ago, my daughter was in seventh grade and we were driving to a game someplace, watch a high school game. And I got a text from a girl that I was recruiting, and I didn't want to text and drive. So I handed the phone to Taylor and she, you know, read it. And I told, well, hey, tell her this. So she was on my phone and she answered.
I've done that with my son more than once. Here you go. Respond this way. I know. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I looked over 30 seconds later and she's texting again. And then 30 seconds later, she's texting again on my phone. And I'm, what are you doing? Well, this girl has a lot of questions. So I know the answers. So I'm just answering them. So I didn't even know what the questions were. And then I got thinking some of those were pretty good questions. And I'm not even sure that it was the girl asking them. So here's the recruiting process. And it's very highly likely that the recruiting process was a seventh grader and a 40-year-old man were talking back and forth, trying to decide an 8-year-old girl's future when I wasn't involved and the girl herself wasn't involved. And so,
isn't it funny how... I tell people, this is the analogy I use with my team sometimes. They go, you know, there used to be a telegraph and you'd punch out the Morse code. And then the phone came around and people thought the phone was the best thing ever, that you could literally talk to someone. We're going backwards. We're going back to the telegraph because there's something different. You know, we're not in the same, we're opposite sides of the country right now. We're talking, at least we can see each other and we're talking. If we were doing this via email or text, it would be totally different. It's such a different connection, I think, with the
voice. It would take 10 times longer. I mean, because you talk about over communicate, and if you have to do it all by text or DM, stuff like that, it take you an hour to have a 10-minute conversation.
I know, and that's got to be hard. That's got to be hard for the recruiting part. So let's say you could only do one offense and one defense for the rest of your career. What would you do?
I would run, you know, we call it five out, but Jerry Tarkanian called it regular passing game.
Right.
And
Bobby Knight called it motion in some respects.
Because I can do it because I can do everything out of that. I can post up out of that. I can get jump shots out of that. I can clear out a side. I think that gives me the most versatility, that one offense.
Okay.
And so I think that, and we wouldn't run it the same way every year, you know, but we would run that same, and that's kind of what we're doing, that. And we'd run that same, you know, that same offense. And I think that, you know, I would play you know, man to man, but I'm not sure if that's
I know exactly. I've always asked this question a lot, and then I've always thought about it. I think you probably would do man and then do some tweaks out of the man, because I don't think zone gives you as many options.
Well, but for us, so there's probably, I don't know, there's gotta be like 3,000 man to man offenses.
And that's true. And there's not as many zone offenses.
There's a handful maybe of zone offenses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can set up in a zone and rotate into man on the third pass, or if the ball's on the right side, or as soon as, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can adjust, you know, that we can adjust out of the, you know, out of the zone. And it goes back to being a little bit, you know, a little bit different.
Right. No, I think that's true. So here's an XO question for you. You're end of the game, 5 seconds left. The opposing team has the ball. You're up three. Do you foul or not?
We don't foul.
Okay. And why?
We don't. Well, and again, because
so the math says foul. That's the only reason I ask every coach this. The math says foul. I haven't either. So I'm not judging at all. It's really, I think I've done enough over the year that I've been in quarantine that the math basically says you should follow at that point.
Yeah, for us, I think that it comes down to rebounding. Are we going to screen out? Are we going to rebound? Are we going to foul on the lane line?
And the issue is how to foul, though. This is the problem. Like when I tell coaches them, because Brad Stevens did a really interesting article when he was at DePaul about it. And the math basically, there's about three things that have to come right for them to beat you if you foul them. There's only that one thing has to come in to send it into overtime, right? Because they got to hit a three. And how many times?
Right.
You know, so there's a lot, you know, you got to foul, they got to make the free throws, they got to get the rebound, they got to put it back in, blah, blah, blah. But the issue is, and this is the issue I've had as a high school coach, is I'm worried that my guys are going to go tackle them. And it's going to be an intense, you know, you have to practice how to foul if you're going to go that road, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And for us, it's depending on where you are in there, it's two free throws. It's two free throws. So it's not one on one. You know, you can, you know, I don't know about everybody else. We every day, game days, we work on how to miss a free throw, the right way to miss a free throw, intentionally. I don't know. That's what I said. I think that we spend so much time not trying to get them not to foul, that all of a sudden to say, okay, now we have to foul. And now if you get something in the end of the game where, you know, you have a kid in there who hasn't played as much for whatever reason, who's in there at the end of the game, who hasn't worked on all those as many game situations. I don't know. I think the best shooters, you know, the ones that we, you know, they're going to shoot, you know, 40%, you know, I think that, I'm looking at those, you know, in a pressure situation. I think that in those situations
it's going to be hard. I know.
It's going to be.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to it. I just think, so let's talk about your school a little bit. So tell me about the school, go in greater detail about your school. And so people that might have players.
Yeah. We're in a relatively small town. There's 22,000 people in the town, the closest college to us is University of Oregon, which is about an hour away. People here, this is big time. We are front page of the sports page. Our girls are interviewed on the radio. Little girls want our players' autographs.
Right.
We get great community support, great crowds. If you don't play well and you go to the store the next day, somebody's going to stop you that you have no idea who it is and ask, you know, what the heck happened, and those kind of things. So I think a lot of people in the, a lot of players possibly haven't heard of us, but four-year coaches have heard of us.
Okay.
Washington and Washington State and Oregon State and Louisville and, say, I mean, every major school on the West Coast has been in our gym. And, right. And I just think it's a chance to play big time basketball in a small town atmosphere. And you get a chance to be a big fish and at the same time, you get a chance to get better and to, you know, we tell people you can go on, not necessarily bigger and better. You can go to bigger, but I really don't know that you're going to find too many places better.
And how does it work when you transfer? Does the credits in your school go with you? How does that work?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There have been two players who have been community college transfers to play in the Ivy League.
Okay.
Both of them have come from Umpqua Community College. So we know if the credits transfer here to Cornell,
right.
You know, had players go to Cal Berkeley. Right. We've had player, you know, if they'll transfer to those places, they will transfer, you know,
anywhere you need them to go.
Anywhere in the country. And it's the same, you know, it's the same classes. You know, if you're a freshman at, I don't know, somebody UCLA, you're taking math and writing and a history class and some type of speech and social studies.
Right.
And you might be in a class with 1,000 people.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
In there. You know, here you're taking the exact same classes. You know, you're in a class with 20 people. And your instructor is going to be at you know, every home game and is going to say something. You know, I just think there's some benefits. A lot of kids benefit from being in a smaller situation with more individual attention. And like I said, the credits transfer anywhere in the country.
Well, and I say, don't get caught. I tell my guys all the time, don't get caught up on the number too. Just find the right fit. Sometimes this is the right fit. And then, you know, maybe a D2 school is better than a D1 school for you. Who knows? I mean, yeah. You know,
well, if you get a chance to keep playing, I mean, would you rather, I mean, what if it comes down to, you know, and we talk every once in a while, you talk to somebody and say, oh yeah, well, no, if I'm not going big, I'm just not going to play. You know, that's why I said I'm playing pickup games into my 30s. I mean, the guy, if you like to play, you like to play. And I never really could, you know, I never really could, you know, figure that out, but absolutely try to find the right fit.
All right. So let's do rapid fire next. What's your favorite brand of basketball, the ball you actually play with?
Yeah, we use Baden and we've used it for 25 years. I don't know any different.
You don't know any different. You don't care. One word to describe your ideal player.
Aggressive.
One sporting event. You go to one sporting event in the world. What would you go to and why?
Yeah, I would go to the Olympics to be surrounded by, and just to be in that atmosphere of, to be surrounded by greatness, to be surrounded by people who've done whatever they could for 4 years to be in that one.
Well, and most of them are doing it for love of the game. Like they're not NBA guys, most of them. You know anything about like track athletes? Most of them can, you know, they make more working at a convenience store than they do doing that.
Right.
What's your favorite pregame meal?
I don't know how it got started, but the last few years we've our team, again, our leading rebounder at decides, but for the last few years we've eaten sandwiches before. We eat sandwiches before the game and we eat good after the game. And the first 10 years when I was coaching, we ate really good pregame, you know, and then we would stop and have sandwiches on the way home. But lately it's kind of flipped. So
that makes more sense from an athlete standpoint. For me, I'd rather eat light early. My coach always told me it's better to be a little hungry than to full. And, you know,
yeah,
these are some of the things for that.
And so that's what we've done the last few years. I don't know, where I'm a creature of habit. Anything that's worked, it's really hard for me to change it.
What's one thing you do to relax?
Yeah, I don't know if I can. That's the one thing about COVID and stuff is my wife and I have walked a lot more here the last 9 months where I've been able to get outside and normally it'd probably be the camp. It'd probably be spring and summer, like the camp, away from phones, away from internet and all that kind of stuff. And I love the coast, the beach. Growing up in Huntington Beach, I would love to go spend a week just sitting in the stand and doing nothing.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? Do you have any superstitions?
I won't get my hair cut on the day of a game. We lost, I don't know, 25 years ago on that. And have never, never happened. I think that is the closest one.
Okay. Describe your perfect player in five or less words. This is always a hard one for people.
Yeah, but it's aggressive, motivated, workaholic, coachable, loyal.
Okay. Those are all really good. Best basketball player you have seen in person.
Yeah. Living in Southern California, I got to see a lot of people in person. Hey, one of my one of my favorite players. I went to high school with Mark Eaton,
I know Mark Eaton, Utah.
Played with the Jazz, and he went from, you know, it's kind of a rags to riches kind of story, and got overlooked and wasn't great in high school and really worked hard and developed and all that kind of stuff. And so I always kind of probably appreciated him and his journey as much as anybody.
Who's the best basketball player of all time?
I'm a Jordan fan, at least in my lifetime. And I don't know. For me, Wilt Chamberlain might be a close.
I put Russell up there. Most people don't even talk about Russell. He won 4 state titles in high school, won 2 of the 3 years in college, and then won 10 in the NBA. The guy was a winner.
Yeah, he's by far the best winner. I mean, by far.
He didn't do it by
scoring. I mean, leadership and defense and kind of sacrificing his, you know,
his glory for that. If you could only teach one skill, what would it be? Basketball skill.
Yeah, shooting.
Okay. Shot clock, yes or no?
What's that?
Shot clock, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
If you could change one thing about basketball, what would you change?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know. I might think of 5 as soon as we quit.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay. I want to get rid of the jump ball. I think it's silly at the high school level. Like, there's one jump ball. We still do alternating possessions. But why the high school officials can't throw the ball up very well.
I agree with that.
But it's like, it's just silly, because it's like, just give the visiting team the ball. Let's go. Like, I don't know. It just seems, that seems like a,
well, the women game. And the women's game. And this is the one thing I think the women's game is right now, at least in colleges, you know, is ahead of the men's game, you know, as far as in that last minute, we can advance the ball.
I know.
And we've gone to quarters. You know, that changes your playing rotation, changes the way you sub. We can advance the ball at the end of the game. All of those, I think, are really positive.
I think they are too.
Positive changes.
I think we went to halves in Wisconsin 3 or 4 years ago. And the only good thing about it at the high school level, it does force me to play more kids. So the game's longer. It's 2 18-minute halves. So I got to rest kids. No one can play 36 minutes hard. So I got to rest them. It forces me to play more kids, which I think is good at the high school level. Let's play more kids if we can. But I miss the time. I miss the quarter timeout. I definitely miss the quarter timeout where I can make adjustments and coach.
And we can, and I like it, the idea, because you can sub a kid out with a minute to go in the quarter, and they get that minute, and then they get the time in between. And so you can get them a rest if it's your go-to player without sit out a ton of time.
I know. What's you have a favorite quote or saying?
We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act but a habit.
I like that.
And that's why I go back to, like, in Gene, I sustain success. You know, can you do it repeatedly? You know, can you try to be your very best at whatever you're doing, whether it's coaching or school or podcasts or things like that.
Best coach of all time.
You know, I know the
This has gotten the widest range of answers. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised.
I think Jerry Tarkanian's up there at the top.
He hasn't gotten a vote before. Why Jerry?
Well, because he changed. You know, he was, you know, when he was at Long Beach State and was really, really good, they played a 1-2-2 zone, and, you know, and didn't pressure the ball a whole lot and worked really hard. And, you know, he won at UNLV, you know, playing pressure man to man.
Right.
I think he's taken kids that you know, he took kids that other people gave up on, that he got something, that he found and got something out of them. I don't think that he necessarily, you know, always had the best players, but his players loved him and they played hard for him. And I just think that, I just think that he made the best out of his situation, and he didn't really care. People, you know, liked him, didn't like him, any of that stuff. He did it. He kind of did it his way.
I like that. One book you'd recommend?
There's a book called The Man Watching by Tim Cruthers, and it's a biography about Anson Dorrance, who's the women's soccer coach at University of North Carolina.
And unbelievable coach. I don't know if I've heard the book, but yeah.
Yeah, they won 25-20. Anyway, he talks about not only his coaching journey, but it relates, because he talks about being competitive, how to foster kids being competitive, and especially women, on how you can how you have to find a way to be best friends, you know, off the field, but literally try to destroy each other on the field and in practice, and kind of how you go about doing that, and kind of fostering that competitive cauldron. And and then there's another one, Pat, as if I had a close second, is Pat Williams has a book that is called the Ultimate Coach's Career Manual. And basically he's asked every coach that you can possibly think of, hey, what advice would you give to a young coach? Exactly what you asked me.
Right.
And there has to be, you know, 300 coaches in there that have all answered that question. These are the things, and have all
been successful. Do you have any parting words? I usually leave it up to the coach on the parting words. I will put all coaches' contact stuff down below. So if you've got a 6'4" wing that can shoot, I'm sure coach will take your call.
Absolutely. If after listening, anybody has a player who they think would help us and who would benefit being in our program, then we would absolutely love to hear from them. But I think it goes back to what you said, and even if it's not us, you know, coach it, try to help your players find the best fit. There are a lot of great community college, junior college. There's a lot of great D3, D2 coaches out there. Would encourage people not to get too caught up onto the level, because happy's happy, win's a win. And I think that you can be happy and successful and stuff at lower levels.
I do too. Thank you, Coach. This was so much fun. What a great way to end a Sunday. I thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't get to talk hoops a lot with somebody who's won as much as you have and all that. So you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've said this. There's two types of coaches with players and ex-coaches. So, you know, I've been very blessed in my career. Great, great, great community. But thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, you ever have anybody cancel or need somebody else, okay, give me a call.
I will.
For everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like it. Go over and check out our other podcasts, High School Hoops, Teacher Side Gig. And then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.